There we go. A couple of weeks ago, just a bit of, ooh, that is, I sound important. I went and got some new contacts and got them home, put them in my eyes, and I could see perfectly. And then I got my phone and I couldn't see a thing, so I called my doctor and I said, "What's up? I need a new exam." And she said, "Well, you're just old, and now you have to have reading glasses." Oof. Yeah, it's, I have not enjoyed this experience. Well, as a, real quick, let me just say thank you, Matthew. It's always fun to be like, "Hey, there was an assassination. Jeff, talk about a movie." Great. Well, talking about movies, as a child born in 1973, well, you could only be a child born in 1973, I thought, what movie am I going to do? And really all I could come up with was like Schwarzenegger movies. Those were my formative years. And I was talking to Jesse, and we decided I could have done Commando. Him going after his daughter like God goes over the mountains. So maybe in a couple of years I'll do Commando. We'll just watch Schwarzenegger do puns and blowing people up. But instead I picked Serenity. So in 2002, before he went on to do other things, Josh Whedon did Firefly, a TV show. And in the 26th century, where all good sci-fi shows begin, unless you're one of my students, I teach high school up here at Paint Branch, and he refused to call the genre anything but sci-fi for some reason. And so now my whole department has to call it sci-fi. So he just couldn't do it. In the 26th century, the known star system is governed by the Alliance. They are brutal. They're brutal, and they must unify everything under their power. The Independents fought a losing war, and now a ragtag group lives on the fringe of the known system and survives however they can. I love a good ragtag group. A-Team. Ooh, I gotta start getting out of the 80s. And so they put this TV show on the air, and the networks totally messed it up. They aired it out of order. They would skip weeks. They would do all these terrible things. And so, of course, it got canceled because nobody knew where to watch it. A couple of years later, they made a movie about it. What they didn't make was this 2019 movie called Serenity. Do not watch this movie. It is just a ball of insanity. And you will be angry at yourself for having watched it. Instead, they made this, the 2005 version, where they are hired to rescue, and this happens during the show too, a woman named River. And she knows a secret. The issue was, I saw this movie first, before I knew there was a TV show. I was confused. I did that once when I got to Germany, stationed there, and went up and went to the bookstore and bought a couple of books and read a book, and it was great. And on the back it said, book 3 of 7. And I went, ooh, okay. So this lady, she's right there in the front. She knows all the secrets of the leadership, and they're trying to find her to kill her, and this group ends up rescuing her, and the whole movie's about, well, what do you do? How do you get this to work? It's not a, you might have seen some of them, and it's people like, I forgot his name, Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk, and if you've ever seen any of those, they're great. But it's such a fun little movie to watch. And by the way, spoilers for this 19-year-old movie. There are three characters in it that we'll probably try and talk about today. One is Mal. He's the leader of this group. One is a guy named Shepherd. He is the kind of the spiritual leader of an encampment that they visit. And another one is called the Operative, and we'll talk about those. He's the guy sent to kill River. So the first clip we're going to watch here is Mal and Shepherd, as Mal has come to visit kind of early on in the movie. Mal has come to visit Shepherd. They've been there many times. They're all friends. His group is off hanging out at the fire, and Mal goes to talk to Shepherd.
In again, Shepherd.
You got a plan?
Hiding in a plan?
It'll do you for a spell. The folks here will be glad of the extra coin.
But the Alliance will be coming. And they're after this girl with a powerful will. Look to hear the trump of their boots any moment.
You won't. This isn't a palms-up military run, man. No reports Broadway. No warrants. Much as they want her hid. That means closed file. It means an operative. It is trouble you've not known.
I could have left her there. I had no. Hell, I had every reason in the verse to leave her lay and haul anchor.
It's not your way, Mal.
I have a way. That better than a plan?
Only one thing's gonna walk you through this, Mal.
Thief. You know I always look to you for counsel, but sermons make me sleepy, Shepherd. I ain't looking for help from on high. That's a long wait for a train don't come.
When I talk about belief, why do you always assume I'm talking about God? They'll come at you sideways. It's how they think. It's how they move. Sidle up and smile. Hit you where you're weak. The sort of man they're like to send believes hard. Kills and never asks why.
It's of interest to me how much you seem to know about that world.
Wasn't born a shepherd, Mal.
You have to tell me about that sometime.
No, I don't.
We'll get a little more into the operative here in a bit, but I think one of the reasons why this movie appeals to me is certain times in my life, I have seen myself, or can see, when I have been all three of these characters, sometimes all at the same time. You have Mal, he lives by his own internal moral compass. He is a war veteran who has seen things and gone through things. Again, he was on the losing side of this battle. He fought not because he thought he was going to win, but because he thought what he was doing for right, what was right, he saw tragedy and loss, and he lives with that every day. He cares for those around him deeply, but really only for those around him. If you're not part of his little group, part of his tribe, part of the people on his boat, then you are collateral. He is an island unto himself. Throughout this TV show and this movie, he is just, I go forward. I do what's best for me. I do what's best for those around me. And we're there to survive and live. And that's it. And there is something to that, right? There is, he's not evil. He's not bad. He's the good guy. But there is something in him where he must go forward and cannot care about anything that does not involve himself or those that he cares about. We have Shepherd Book, the late, great Ron Glass, who, as you says, he also has a past. He also has things he has seen, loss he has suffered. But at some point, he has decided that he is supposed to help those around him. He understands the power of belief and faith, not just in himself or those directly around him, but in those that he doesn't know, those that maybe he will never know. Here you see a little bit of him trying to convince Mal that you have to believe in something. You have to believe in something other than yourself. It's great that you have this moral compass. It's great that you help those people who you consider your family, but that won't sustain you, he's telling him, throughout the rest of your life. That will only get you to a certain point, that there has to be more, there has to be something else. Interestingly, it actually reminds me of a story here in Mark, where one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. And he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered correctly, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. That story's always stuck out to me. It's the, you are not far. I think Mal is not far. Mal is close. Mal is right on the cusp. Mal understands what it is to suffer and not give up all hope, to give up all faith, to just give up on everything. He knows what it is to cling to something, even if it's himself and those immediately around him. Basically, when we have been mad, but mainly I wrote that for me. This idea that the need to believe in something. I also don't think that when I have been Mal in my life, when I have been close, when I've been on that precipice but still not there, that it is a one-time thing. I would love to be able to say that in my 30s, or 40s or 50s. Oh, I was that, but now I'm good. Now I have perfect faith, 100%. I have great belief. I know what it is to believe in God, and my it is strong and it is great. But that's not how it works, at least for me. It is a roller coaster of today I believe and tomorrow, or an hour from now, or 5 minutes from now. This idea that, as we sang that song, I constantly have to have God, sometimes God, sometimes other people in my life being like, no, you need to come back. You need to have this belief. You need to have this faith. Because up and down, up and down. I get why Mal wants it this way. It is easier to be Mal. It is easier to know a direction, to believe in a very close thing inside of yourself, and to just go. Because if you've got one person or just a small group of people to worry about, if you are convinced of right and wrong, if you know the answers to everything, you can just go forward. Certainty is very appealing. And Book seems to be telling him, that's just not how it works. I'm not asking you for certainty. I'm not asking you to have a strict theology. I'm not asking you to read the entire works of Karl Barth and know them perfectly and be able to recite them. Theology, people know what I'm talking about. You need to have a belief in something other than yourself. And that's tough. I don't like that. As much as I'd like to say I don't like structure, I do like certainty because it's easier. Book sees it that way. Shepherd Book is constantly telling him, I get it. I've been where you're at. I've had that certainty in my life, and it hasn't worked for me. And now I'm telling you, you need to believe in something. The third member of this that we're talking about today is a guy called The Operative. Way before he was famous and being nominated for Oscars and the like, The Operative is a man who serves this empire. He serves it well. He serves it blindly. This is a man who has faith. This is a man who absolutely believes in something outside of himself, but it is a blind faith. It is a blind faith in something he's been taught and drilled into him forever and ever and ever. Even if it's to his detriment or the detriment of those around him, he believes it. I think we have another clip.
Hit the dock!
Shepherd? Don't move.
Won't go far.
Should have been you.
Mine should have hit us. Should have hit me.
That crossed my mind.
I shot him down.
Yeah, I see.
I killed the ship that killed us. Not very Christian of me.
You did what's right.
Coming from you, that means almost nothing. I'm gone, God.
Doc will bring you around. I look to be buried by many more sermons before you slip. Just don't move.
Kid ought to be around, boy. Not one of your crew.
Yes, you are.
River.
Come on!
Hey.
I don't care what you believe.
Just believe. Whatever you...
I guess for, since what, 2006. Let me back up. Ages 0 to 17, you may not believe it, I was the best teenager that ever existed. And that's not even, I'm usually sarcastic. I'm not even being sarcastic. Youth group, did all kinds of stuff. Church every... Oh, I'd like to say every day, but it was probably only five times a week. My parents had keys to the church, so we were there. 17 hits. I head to Texas A&M for my first semester of college. My friends and I, the weekend before school, are going to go watch a movie. And in 91, I can't think of what it was now. We didn't get there because a guy in a truck pulled up and said, hey, y'all want to go to a party? And we said, yes. And from about 17 to 24, I drank. And they kicked me out of school. Actually, they sent me a very nice letter asking me not to come back. But I think I know what they meant. Because I made a 0.8 GPA. For those of you who don't know, that is low. And so I didn't come back and ended up dropping out of other schools and basically running as far from church and God as I could, because I didn't like me, I didn't like God, believed in him, didn't like him. 24, started to kind of come back and did some other stuff, and finally at some point started back into church just to have somebody to hang out with. Eventually, for some crazy reason, went to seminary in Waco, Texas, which I got a job as a youth minister. So from 2006 till 2018, I was some kind of minister in a church or a hospital or something. And so I'd love to be able to say, aha, belief, strong. That is seemingly not how God made me. I am way more Mao than I am book. This idea that there are times when my belief it wavers. We watch the things that happen. We watch the world around us. We watch death and destruction and loss and heartache. Why? I have family members who treat, you know, other members who I really care about deeply, terribly, and nothing I can do about it. And I have to, well, why? Why? This idea that I cannot, with certainty, just hold on to something, it bothers me. Because almost more than anything, I like to be right. And that's tough. That's tough when it comes to faith. When Book tells him, I don't care what you believe in, you just got to believe. Sometimes that's all I've got. Sometimes I just have to keep going and I have to believe. Now, during my, well, I'd say better times, but even sometimes during my worst times, I believe how I think I should. But then there are days where it is tough, and I just have to cling to the old beliefs that I have had. I've watched other people that I love. What has God been for them? And I have to cling to their faith. I have to cling to their beliefs. I have to cling to the things I used to feel because I felt them then. Jeff, I don't care what you believe sometimes, just believe it. I don't think God wants me to stay in that spot. And again, roller coaster. But a lot of times that's where it ends up. That's what Book wants Mal to know there at the very end. Because it's not about Book. Book knows it's about everybody. All right, third clip.
Sorry. If your quarry goes to ground, leave no ground to go to. You should have taken my offer. Or did you think none of this was your fault?
I don't murder children.
I do. If I have to.
Why? Do you even know why they send you?
It's not my place to ask. I believe in something greater than myself. A better world. A world without sin.
So me and mine gotta lay down and die so you can live in your better world?
I'm not going to live there. There's no place for me there, any more than there is for you. Malcolm, I'm a monster. What I do is evil. I have no illusions about it, but it must be done.
Keep talking. You're not getting a location trace off this wave.
And every minute you keep River Tam from me, more people will...
He is a great villain. He is just a force. And like, it's interesting, most villains don't believe that they're the villains. The Joker thinks he's the good guy. But the operative, he knows he's the bad guy. But he says this quote, "It is not my place to ask." That is the church environment that I grew up in. I was told these things, and if I ever questioned, it was not my place to ask. I remember the first time I had the thought, what if Jonah is a story? I did not ask that question, because I didn't want to know what would happen when I did. And I think that's what really started me off on my perilous journey, is that idea, not only that I had questions, but I couldn't ask them. I knew I was the villain. You know when your mother, as you're growing up, is telling you there are people you need to watch out for, they're going to be bad influences on your life. When I was in my 20s, I figured out I was that person. If you were hanging out with me, you were going to be in some trouble. But I accepted that, because I didn't ask questions. I just blindly went forward. I went with what I thought was right inside of me, and usually that was bad, because it was so clouded with the teachings that I had been given that told me I couldn't ask questions, that I had to create a world that would be perfect, that other people get to live in. And that was hard. I still fight with that. I married my wife, 8 years ago now? 8 years, I got that right. Thank you. And she blames me. Because now she's, being like, what about? And I'm like, because she grew up in the same situation that I did, same kind of places. And so we ask questions now. What does that do, though, when your faith bottoms out? What is it when it all is the, as Jesus said, just all burnt offerings and sacrifices? But there's nothing behind it. There's nothing to it other than somebody told you something and beat it into you. What happens when you step out and you go, what about Jonah? What about Job? Ooh. What about Genesis 1? What about evil in the world? What about? Because most of those people, they're gone. You ask the wrong questions, those people are gone. Next clip.
It's not over yet. I can't guarantee that they won't come after you. The Parliament.
Your broadwave about Miranda has weakened their regime, but they are not gone, and they are not forgiven.
That don't bode especially well for you. Given the order to let us go? Patching up our hurt?
I told them the Tams were no longer a threat. Damage done. They might listen. But I think they know I'm no longer their man.
They take you down. Don't expect grief over much. I'd like to kill you myself if I see you again.
You won't. There is nothing left to see.
So Mal broadcasts all the secrets out into the universe. The operative finally sees the error of his ways, helps them escape right there at the end of the movie. And he tells him there is nothing left to see. There has been that thought in my head for the last 50-something years. Not every day, not every minute, not even every week or month, but every once in a while, because at some point I had all of that blind faith just washed away, what was there left to see? And so I have to keep coming back and keep coming back. And sometimes I get close, and sometimes I get there, and then sometimes I go back. And there is this constant journey. One of my favorite, it's my favorite thing we were ever called. We weren't called Christians at first. We probably shouldn't be now, but we were called people of the way. I love that phrase. I love that title. This idea that the way of Jesus, but also this journey that we have to continually go on. This idea that we are constantly having to move forward. And we cannot be just one thing, because that's just not how it works. It is my great hope for this 19-year-old, movie, that someday the operative gets to be a person who believes he is somebody who can be seen. I'm cheering for Idiotel. I want him to be a good guy. I hope there's a sequel someday where he's a good guy. Because I hope someday I am a good guy. I hope one day that I continue to see, that I am somebody who is seen. That those people who have had everything washed away from them believe that they are people who are seen. And if not by me, and if not by you, then at least by God. So the last clip, it actually happens before this. It's when they know what they have to do. It's when they figured everything out. They have to make the suicide run through all the bad guys to broadcast all the secrets out into the universe. I'm not quite sure yet what this has to do with my sermon, but It's a great speech. And so if you get something out of it, that's what I planned. And if you didn't, it's because you got to think on it. Fifth clip here.
This report is maybe 12 years old. Parliament buried it and stayed buried until River dug it up. This is what they feared she knew. And they were right to fear. Because there's a whole universe of folk who are going to know it too. They're going to see it. Somebody has to speak for these people. Y'all got on this boat for different reasons, but y'all come to the same place. So now I'm asking more of you than I have before. Maybe all. As sure as I know anything, I know this. They will try again. Maybe on another world, maybe on this very ground swept clean. A year from now, 10, they'll swing back to the belief that they can make people better. And I do not hold to that. So no more running. I aim to misbehave.
As the band comes up for communion, I aim to misbehave. I could have had that tattooed on my forehead. I might still someday, maybe not on my forehead. What happens when Mal finds his belief? It's not a movie that goes into, well, what are the strict doctrines of it, what are the grand theology of his belief, what is it specifically he believes in. All we know is that finally he has come to find his belief. And that opens up the world to him. Not in a way of knowledge or how he thinks. In his heart, people matter. He matters. All the loss and the joy and the sadness and the happiness, all of that now matters to him, and it matters to him for himself, for his people, and for everyone else in the entire universe. Because he has found his belief. So we come to communion. There's a few ways to do it. We've got three of our stations with gluten-free crackers and juice on your bulletins. I still call them bulletins. The Baptist in me is tough to get rid of. There are other ways, other stations you can go to. One more thing about Jeff's childhood, because y'all want to know. I used to be very afraid of communion. Because the Bible totally says that Paul writes that if you are unworthy and you take it the wrong way, that the Holy Spirit's just going to kill you. Oh my gosh. But then one day I asked a question. Is that what that really means? It turns out it's not. Shocker. Turns out it's this beautiful thing where Christ called his people his friends and said, remember what I have done for you. Every single time you come up and you take this, you get to remember who you are and whose you are. And there should be nothing scary. There should be nothing anxious, nervous. It shouldn't be about that. It should be a wonderful thing to know that throughout the entire history of the world, all across the entirety of the globe, that other people who are seeking belief, who are trying to understand who they are and who each other are, who are close because they know that they want to love God and love others as they love themselves, they get to do this too. It's an amazing thing in such a simple act. So, we'll prepare the stations, and when you are ready, please come and eat.